Well, clearly you made some kind of impact. Maybe you gave him milk money or something.
The glamorous cabin is gone.
This is the Disappearance Podcast, Episode 3, The Garden of Earthly Delights.
Hello?
Are you recording?
I saw your number. I'm recording.
Okay, good. So, I took a look at one of the other LPs. I applied the same process that I've been using with whipped cream and other delights, but this time it only took a couple of hours to get the audio cleaned up. I think I have a whole side.
A whole album side? What was in it?
Don't you want to know which record it was? It was Netherlands by Dan Fogelberg.
Should that mean something to me?
It's the sort of blue and white album. It's his face and silhouette. I'm trying to make your podcast more interesting by giving you details.
What did you uncover?
During my last episode, I played an extension to the hidden message found on the LP Whipped Cream and Other Delights by Herb Albert and the Tijuana Brass. This is one of a set of 8 records I inherited from a kid I barely knew in high school, who went missing 20 years ago. After my last episode, I was surprised to get a lot of feedback surrounding the fact that I didn't spend more time dissecting exactly what was uncovered on that album. When Tom Allegost called again, this time about uncovering an entire album side, I decided I would bow to the desires of my listeners and do a deep, critical listen. For this activity, I had someone specific in mind.
I do want to be helpful.
This project.
Okay.
Put a weird thought in there.
It sounds like the ocean. Like ocean waves. I don't hear any seabirds or anything, but yeah, I'm pretty sure it's the ocean.
That's my wife Carol standing in our kitchen, listening with headphones on. Here is an excerpt of what I played for her. I had a pretty good idea of what I was hearing, but I played it for her just to be sure. I am now going to skip ahead in the recording by 2 minutes. Listen closely.
It smells different. How does it smell different?
I'm guessing that's Alistair. That's an assumption on my part. After I posted episode 2, a woman sent me a message through my website, disappearancepodcast.com. She was questioning my assumption that it was Alistair on any of the albums. I have permission to quote her email, but she rejected my offer to a conversation over the phone. For dramatic effect, here's my wife reading from the email.
You say that you barely remember this guy, but you're making the public claim that these recordings are of him. Do you have any proof?
Okay. The answer is no. And it is a fair criticism. The person on the Fogelberg recording and the person on the previous Herb Albert recording are the same person. I know that much. But yeah. I would like to publicly admit that I have no idea if we're hearing Alistair. I haven't heard Alistair's voice in 20 years. My wife went to school with Alistair too, but she's in the same boat. I spoke to her on this point and she just assumed it was Alistair because I told her it was. I'm now going to play some more of the recording. Let's just say this is the juicy part. Here's what happens about 10 minutes after those sentences about the smell. Until we hear this, it really is just ocean waves. Then this happens. listen closely.
Bosh. 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 Okay. Bosh. The owl in the fountain. Two white giraffe. Wait. I'm sorry. Third degree.
Next, the recording cuts to just waves again. It actually cuts 7 times over the course of the album, and I don't know if that's important, but I'm noting it. It's not one long recording. There are 7 cuts. The strangest thing about this recording, for me, is how different it is to the previous one. While Whipped Cream and Other Delights is convoluted, layered with noise, the recording found on Netherlands is pretty simple. When cleaned up, it produces the mental image of Alistair sitting on the beach, looking out over the breaking waves, mumbling to himself. At least that's what I hear. What makes it especially strange is that it was recorded at all. Why was he at the beach recording himself? What smelled different? Was it the air? Was it the sea? Was it something else entirely? And the second part, talking about the animals, was a mystery to me. That is, until I played the recording for Carol. Here she is again, in the kitchen, with headphones on.
Bosh? Did he just say Bosh? Okay. Wait. Okay. He's talking about Hieronymus Bosch.
First, a little background on Carol. She's a high school art teacher, but her undergrad degree was in art history. Back when we were in high school, she wanted to be a curator at a big museum. But in college, she took an exploring teaching class and liked it. After we recorded this bit together, she listened to my second episode again. She says she hears Bosch mentioned there as well. Alistair says something about 7th degree Bosch. At least that's what she hears. I encourage you to go back to episode 2 and listen again. Here's Carol again after she listened to this new recording 2 times.
At least at the beginning, he's talking about a very famous painting called The Garden of Earthly Delights.
So you're sure just explaining this to another adult.
Okay. It's a very popular piece of medieval art, an altar painting.
What's an altar painting?
It's exactly what it sounds like. It's a painting for an altar, like in a church. It was in the Middle Ages that they first started decorating the backs of church altars with paintings of holy figures and scenes from the Bible.
The name didn't sound real to me, but as it turns out, Carol was right on. Hieronymus Bosch painted The Garden of Earthly Delights in the early 16th century. Strangely, no one seems to know very much about Bosch himself. At least my online searching hasn't dug up much. There seems to be very little to go on beyond his paintings, and there are many conflicting theories about his work.
There are some very strange things in his paintings.
That's my wife again.
Especially The Garden of Earthly Delights. Art historians don't even know the painting's original name. The title was made up after his death.
One of my web searches produced a documentary on Bosch and an interactive audio tour of the Garden of Earthly Delights. I'll link some of these at disappearancepodcast.com and I'll post it on the Facebook page. After I powered through a crash course on Bosch, and specifically the Garden of Earthly Delights, it was clear to me why Carol was immediately cued into it being about that specific painting. Let's listen again. Here's the first part of that recording.
Bosch. 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 Okay. Bosh. The owl in the fountain. Two white giraffes. What? I'm sorry. Third degree.
It sounds like he's trying to remember the specific details of the painting. Interestingly, the first recording that my audio engineer friend Tom uncovered included a reference to the seventh degree. Now Alistair says third degree. What it means, I don't know. I continue to get a bunch of messages from listeners. It's kind of exciting. I've already shared the one message from the woman criticizing my assumptions, but some of you have also been critical of my investigative techniques. I'm the first to admit that I'm not a detective. Some of you have even critiqued the people I've asked to be on my show. Some of you have noticed that they're reading their thoughts. I have asked everyone to write down what they want to say so we can better cut to the chase. For example, Eileen Ruddle, in my last episode, had a bunch of index cards laid out so she could guide me through her thoughts on Edgar Allan Poe. I assure you that everyone involved is taking this very seriously. In preparing this episode, I thought a lot about why I'm doing this podcast at all and whether I should continue. Here's where I am right now. Sam and Alistair Glamis have no known relatives. Their land was put up for public auction. It appears that the impression they made on this earth was a small one, and yet I was entrusted with a box full of something more interesting and mysterious than anything I have ever come across. If you're still listening to this episode, then perhaps you're drawn to Alistair as well. Whether you're criticizing me or encouraging me, I want to hear from you. I feel like there's someone out there who knows more. Maybe someone even knows the clue that could tell us what ultimately happened to Alistair Glamis. Did he really run away? Regardless, thank you for your messages, especially the ones that are encouraging. I got one that demanded I double the length of the show and post them weekly instead of every other week. Thanks for that. I think this is all that I can manage right now, though. Anyway, I'm reading your thoughts, and I'm taking them to heart. As I mentioned at the end of my last episode, I received a brief message that I felt could be very productive. It simply said, "Hello, my name is Jessica Morlick. We went to high school together. I can tell you about Alistair. I was his girlfriend. And there was a phone number. So I called it." All right. I'm recording now. Can you introduce yourself?
My name is Jessica Morlick.
Do you mind if I rehash what we just talked about?
No, go ahead.
So, I said I did indeed remember you from high school. You were 1 year behind me in my sister's class. We were in band together, and then could you repeat what you just told me?
A friend of mine told me about your podcast. I listened to the first two episodes, and I contacted you because, well, back in high school, I was good friends with Alistair. Well, we were more than friends. I was his girlfriend.
Can you tell me what you remember about what he was like?
Quiet, mostly kept to himself, a little bit of a moody vibe, but not really in an obvious kind of way. He had platinum blonde hair, which really caught my attention at first. But later on, it was other things. And, you know, that appealed to me on some level. Nobody else really got it.
I mostly remember that he was quiet.
Oh, he was quiet. He was also very deep. At least I thought so. He intrigued me.
How did you two connect?
We rode the bus together. The bus would pick him up and drop him off at the end of a long dirt road that went into the woods. To me, he was Mr. Mysterious. I tried to talk to him, but he said like two words. I ended up sitting with him every day. Each bus ride, I would get a few words out of him. I was his daily interrogator.
What would you two talk about?
In the beginning, not much. Eventually, we'd talk about random things, whatever was happening around us. I remember I mentioned the time change in the spring. I said something normal, like I hated it or something. I remember he said that he didn't follow it.
What do you mean?
Oh, I'm not sure how serious he was, but he said his family didn't follow daylight savings time. I remember that moment even now because it was the first time I saw him smile. Once I got him talking, he joked a lot. He used to call evening by another word. Eventide. He'd say, good eventide. He had a sense of humor. A lot of people probably didn't get to see that side of him.
Did he talk about his family?
No, he didn't.
But you knew he only lived with his father.
Actually, I didn't know that. I only learned that by listening to your podcast. I'm sorry, but I think I have to go, so we should wrap this up. I have to go and pick up my kids in a few minutes. But maybe we could get together sometime.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll try to connect with Jessica Morlick again before my next episode. I was a little disappointed that we couldn't speak longer. I'll be sure to ask her about her memories of when Alistair went missing. In the meantime, if you know anything about the disappearance of Alistair Glamis, or you're connected with his story in any way and wish to share, or if you want to support the production of the show, then please visit our website, disappearancepodcast.com. This show is a co-production of Partners in Crime Media. Thanks to Tom Allegost, Jessica Morlick, and my wife Carol for making this episode possible. Thanks also to Ben Von Wildenhaus and Prom Queen for providing the music. Thanks finally to Jason Robertson, Karen Fay, and Jeremy Murphy for the support. Please take a moment to rate and review this program on iTunes so word can spread about the project. Thank you. Let's talk in 2 weeks. And now I don't know why I can't seem to cry. Partners in Crime Media.